Okay, thank you very much. Good morning and welcome to the Minnesota Court of Appeals. My name is Theodora Gaitis and I'm joined today by my colleagues, Judges Johnson and Judge Kirk. And we're a little late getting started with the second argument. I know you were both here and know that that we have a good excuse for being delayed. We are now getting to your case. It is A221796, Pedro Alonso et al. Versus Richard Menholt et al. And again, welcome to both counsel. I just have a few words for you before we turn things over to you for your arguments. As you know, I'm sure appellant will have 15 minutes, respondent will have 15 minutes, and then appellant will have an opportunity for a 5-minute rebuttal. Your arguments will be counted down by the clock, which is on the screen and should be visible to both of you. Can you both see that?
Yes, Your Honor.
Okay, thank you. And we are making an audio recording of your arguments, which are being held via the Zoom platform this morning. It would help us immensely in ensuring the quality of that recording if you would make sure that your audio is muted when you are the person who's not making the argument. It would also help if you would please identify yourself and the party you're representing before you begin your argument. Those conclude my remarks. I'm now ready to turn things over to the attorneys. We will first hear from counsel for the appellant. You may proceed.
Thank you, Your Honor. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Jim Hoy, and together with my partner, Kellen Bubach of the Marion Williams Law Office, we represent the plaintiffs and appellants, Pedro and Ida Alonso. This is an appeal from a summary judgment order from Clay County District Court dated November 10, 2022, and a subsequent judgment dated November 14 of the same year. This is ultimately a negligence case and specifically claims brought against the what I'll call the Menholt Farms conglomeration for negligent selection of an independent contractor. And the underlying facts are that two beet trucks collided head-on near Felton, Minnesota, and causing severe and catastrophic injuries to our client, Mr. Alonso. That crash occurred on October 19 of 2018. And so as it relates to this appeal, the Menholt Farms defendants and appellees are the employer of an independent contractor who I'll refer to today as Broughton Farms, and his driver, Alberto Lopez. There is one issue on appeal, and that is that the district court erred in granting Menholt Farms' motion for summary judgment because there was a genuine issue of material fact about whether it negligently failed to exercise reasonable care to select a careful and competent contractor. And before I get into the court's order and the rest of my argument, I'll just touch quickly on the standard of review, which is de novo here, and in particular, the summary judgment standard, which is that all evidence must be viewed in the light most favorable to the Alonzos, and all doubts and inferences need to be resolved against Menholt Farms. Summary judgment is inappropriate in a circumstance like this if reasonable people could draw different conclusions from the facts, which essentially means that if any doubt exists as to the existence of a genuine issue of material fact, that doubt must be resolved in favor of finding that the fact exists. And here, reasonable jurors could draw different conclusions as to whether Menholt Farms exercise reasonable care to select a careful and competent contractor. Very simply, this is a jury decision and summary judgment was inappropriate. And as this court knows, generally issues of negligence are fact questions and not susceptible to summary judgment, and district courts are not allowed to weigh the evidence, which in our position is that they improperly did here. So if we get to the court's order, again, of November 10, 2022, the district court...
Mr. Hoy, before you go to the... I think you're going to go into more of the evidence and the facts. And before you do that, I guess I have a question about your legal theory. You're relying, I think, heavily on Section 411 of the restatement, correct?
That is correct, Your Honor.
And are you relying on any other source of law? For example, just a general duty of reasonable care that might, govern all of us at all times, or, a duty to act as a reasonable person. In other words, is the theory that's embodied in Section 411 necessary for you? If we reject Section 411, are there still some common law duties on which you would rely? Or I'm just wondering, whether you have by relying on 411, whether you have elected to not rely on other related theories?
Your Honor, we are relying on Section 411 of the Restatement Second of Torts, and that is because that is what the courts have articulated as being the standard of care for a situation like this, where the claim is negligent selection of an independent contractor. The duty to exercise reasonable care to hire a careful and competent contractor, of course, is very similar to the duty generally, as you're suggesting. But the restatement duty makes it very apparent, and courts have held that is the duty for these types of claims.
There's a recent, relatively recent Supreme Court case called Fenrich versus Blake School. You may or may not be familiar with it. And that has to do with, it's a car accident, and a person other than the negligent driver was sued, and the Supreme Court kind of set forth an analytical structure for how such a claim should be analyzed. And I'm wondering if it was your intention to not rely on that type of theory, or whether, and I'm wondering, a question for both you and your opposing counsel, whether this court, how do we analyze your theory? Must we analyze it along with the Fenrich analysis, or does it exist independent of that? I'm wondering if you have any thoughts about that.
Your Honor, quite candidly, I'm unaware of the Fenrich decision, and so I can't answer that question directly. What I can tell you is that restatement section 411 sets forth the duty. Minnesota courts and have recognized, although not formally adopted, but recognized that for these types of claims, the duty is the restatement. And in the district court's order in this case, the district court properly concluded that Minnesota recognizes a claim for negligent selection of an independent contractor, or that it will do so when confronted with the issue on appeal. And it also set forth the duty under Restatement Section 411, which again is that an employer like Menhold Farms has a duty to exercise reasonable care to hire a careful and competent contractor like Broughton Farms in this instance. And most troubling,
I have one more question about the law, and then I will let you go to the facts. And that is, would you agree that it clearly that the Supreme Court has cited Section 411 of the restatement, but would you disagree with me if I said that they haven't, the Supreme Court has yet to fully, without qualification, adopt it or recognize that tort? I mean, in the Larson case, which was about a different tort, negligent credentialing, they referred to 411 as analogous. And in fact, I think that supported their decision to recognize the tort in that case. But would you disagree with me if I said that the Supreme Court has not yet fully recognized or adopted Section 411 of the restatement?
Your Honor, I would not disagree with you. I think that an accurate reflection of the law is that the Supreme Court has not formally adopted the tort, although a reading of the three Minnesota Supreme Court decisions, Brown versus Gustafson, Lamb versus South Unit Jehovah's Witnesses, and Larson, as you mentioned, all cite, and I would say even recognize, that the general duty, or that there is a general duty under this tort to exercise reasonable care. This court, the Court of Appeals, has also reached the same conclusion, saying that that the negligent selection of an independent contractor is an accurate reflection of the law, and that was in the Lakeview Terrace homeowners case. And similarly, although not precedential here, the District of Minnesota, the federal court, has also said that and reached the same conclusion that the district court in this case reached, which is that this is a viable claim and that the Supreme Court would likely determine that this is a cause of action. And to your point about Larson in the negligent credentialing, I mean, that court analyzed, I shouldn't say analyzed, certainly discussed and cited to Section 411 and then concluded that it's a generally accepted common law tort and negligent credentialing is similar and inherent in the natural extension of a well-established common law right. And so the short answer is, it's very likely that this tort exists and that the Supreme Court would recognize it upon review. And in this situation, as we dive into the facts here, what's most troubling about the district court's order is that it concluded, and I quote, "There is no evidence in the record to suggest Menhold Farms failed to use reasonable care to employ Broughton Farms as an independent contractor." And in reviewing the district court's order, there's no citation or reference at all to any of the facts, the pertinent facts that the Alonzos cited in their responsive brief on summary judgment. And it's, I think, error to conclude that there are no facts that suggest Menhold Farms failed to exercise reasonable care. And I'm not going to recite all of the facts here. The court has all of those in its briefing, but a couple do. I will mention because they are important, and that is generally Menhold Farms did not ask Broughton Farms about any background information about any of its drivers at any time. Okay, Menhold Farms did not know anything about what Broughton Farms did to vet or screen its employees, and Menhold Farms made no effort to learn anything about what Broughton Farms did to screen its employees. Very simply, on those three facts alone, there's a genuine issue of material fact about whether Menhold Farms exercised reasonable care. Certainly, doing nothing is something that a jury should be able to consider. And we would suggest that doing nothing is evidence of failing to exercise reasonable care.
Counsel, then just tell me two questions that Menhold Farms should have asked Broughton.
Well, Your Honor, I think those are things that is a great example of why this should go to the jury and summary judgment is inappropriate. That's a jury question. If I'm answering your question as to what I think is important, anything would have been better than doing nothing. I mean, finding out, for example, what type of drivers it was going to hire, finding out if they had a driver's license, finding out if they did any sort of background or criminal check or driving record check or any sort of check to make sure that the driver that's hauling its beats is appropriately and legally on the road and is a careful and safe driver. Anything along those lines would have been better than doing nothing. And certainly, even if Menhold Farms did some of those things or one of those things, which they didn't hear, but even if they did, that's a jury question. A jury should have to analyze or get to analyze what is reasonable care under the circumstances. And again, to conclude that—
Is there a jury question as to when the contract was formed, whether it was something that occurred back in the 70s or 80s, as the district court found, and whether it was something that, or, you know, whether it was something that occurred on a yearly basis? Is that an issue of material fact?
That is, Your Honor. And thank you for bringing that up, because Menhold Farms in its briefing spent a lot of time arguing that the initial hire happened back in the 1970s or 1980s. And our position is very simply that regardless of when this hiring occurred, and we suggest that it happened on an annual basis, but regardless of whether it was the 1970s, 80s, every year, or exactly when the hiring of Lopez happened, Menhold Farms did nothing to vet or to ask or to do anything to exercise reasonable care to make sure that its independent contractor, Broughton Farms, was employing a safe and competent driver, somebody that was going to be operating a beet truck on the roads in rural Clay County, Minnesota, in a safe manner. And so no matter where the court ultimately looks at from a timing standpoint, the Menhold Farms didn't exercise reasonable care. And again, to your point, Your Honor, that's a jury question, which is another reason why summary judgment is inappropriate here.
Mr. Hoy, if we look at it on an annual basis, then, doesn't Menhold Farms then benefit from the evidence that this relationship had been in place for years? Apparently, as far as I'm aware, no prior issues, problems, accidents. And in fact, I think Mr. Lopez had been driving for them for a number of years in the recent past with no incidents. I mean, doesn't that then support the notion that Menhold Farms does not need to do any further inquiry? The contractor is performing well.
Your Honor, the record, and again, all inferences need to be resolved in favor of the Alonzos, but the record suggests that Mr. Lopez may have driven for 1 or 2 years prior to the incident. But to answer your question directly, is that those are facts that a jury must consider. And at no time during any of those annual hires, if that's what we're basing it on, did Menhold Farms do anything to exercise reasonable care? Just because I don't get picked up speeding doesn't mean that I'm a safe driver. Okay, so similar to here, just because no accident or any head-on crash happened doesn't necessarily mean, as a matter of law, that Lopez and Broughton are safe and competent independent contractors. The duty under 411 still requires that you exercise reasonable care to hire a safe or a competent and careful contractor. And I see that my time is up, Your Honors.
Thank you. We will next hear from Mr. Tamshi. You may proceed when you're ready.
Thank you. May it please the court, counsel. My name is Mike Tamshi. I represent the respondents, Menhold Farms. First of all, Minnesota has not adopted the claim or cause of action for negligent hiring of a independent contractor. And questions were asked of my opposing counsel about whether this is a one-time hire or this is every year. The case law that provides us guidance in the state of Minnesota is the tort of negligent hiring. And it recognizes there's negligent hiring and there's negligent retention. There's no allegation in this complaint or in this lawsuit about negligent retention of an independent contractor. What is undisputed is that the Menhold Farm group were lifelong friends with Darcy Broughton, who he and his father owned Broughton Farms. Broughton Farms had served as a supplier of a truck and driver, mostly Darcy Broughton, over those many years, without any incident for decades. And so then the testimony is 4 or 5 years before this accident, Darcy Broughton hired Mr. Lopez. And again, 4 or 5 years without incident, no issues. And so you don't look at it on a year by year retaining, hiring. It's when it occurred. And you look at the case law in Minnesota that talks about, and we've cited it, but it's the Yonker versus Honeywell case. In the tort of negligent hiring in an employment context, it says that you look at the circumstances prior to the employment. In this case, what were the circumstances prior to Menholt Farms hiring Broughton?
Mr. Tomshi, I mean, yep. to interrupt here, but I mean, in an ordinary employment situation, if an employee is hired at will, they usually work, you know, indefinitely, day after day, year round, and so on. But isn't this a case where this particular service was just performed for a couple of weeks every year, you know, on a seasonal basis? I mean, isn't that correct? In other words, you know, there was 2 weeks or more of driving, and then months and months of no services, and then the following season, there was, you know, the cycle repeated itself.
Well, actually, Judge Johnson, the testimony was primarily was that of the sugar beet season, but it also included hauling grain and frankly swapping work back and forth. There were times that Mr. Menholt would go out and do ditch work for Mr. Broughton. But the point is, this is a relationship of trust, respect, and friendship. And so, you know, appellant's counsel says, well, there was absolutely nothing done. They hired someone they knew, trusted, and respected. And it worked well for decades. And then what happened was this accident. And then we all go back and look with hindsight and say, oh, we should have done something. Look at the case law that we've cited. It's Jones versus Snyder. And admittedly, it's not in this jurisdiction. It's in Iowa. But there, they say the employer has to look at the unfitness at the time of hiring. That's the same concept and principle as Minnesota Supreme Court decisions as it relates to the tort of negligent hiring in an employment context. It's logical. That's what you have to do. So then what appellants say is, well, they should have asked anything. What they suggest in their briefing is not that they're saying that Menholt needs to engage in an understanding of Broughton Farms' employment practices, hiring practices. That's the district court said it's a step too far. The analysis for this court, in my humble opinion, is when Menholt Farms hired Broughton. It doesn't have an ongoing analysis to then get into Broughton Farms subagents and employees to start saying, okay, did you vet him? Did you vet her? Did you get a driver's license? And that's the other thing. Keep in mind, Darcy Broughton's testimony is in this setting, he actually asked Mr. Lopez if he had a license. And he was showed it. He didn't take it in his hand and look, but he was showed it. So the criticism is Menholt Farms didn't do anything. They hired people they knew, respected, and trusted their whole life. This isn't a random off-the-street situation. And that's the relationship and engagement that the court needs to, in my view, look at, is the first hiring of Broughton Farms. They restate, and also a question was asked of appellant's counsel, well, what about the Blake School case? That has never been brought up or argued in this case. It has always been a focus of Restatement of Torts 411. And Restatement of Torts 411 speaks of the employer, talking about the employer's failure to use reasonable care to employ a careful and competent contractor. So look at what it doesn't say in 411 or frankly anywhere else that Menholt Farms has a legal duty to get into the weeds on employment practices of the of in this case Broughton Farms hiring practices. That's nowhere to be found. So in my humble opinion, we've got a situation where we don't even have a recognized tort in the state of Minnesota. Not only do they want to now make this yearly, they want to say that we need to, that Menholt Farms had a legal duty to engage in questioning the contractor who was in the business of hauling sugar beets and other grains to ask about their employment practices. I mean, we are now getting so many steps into the weeds. In my humble opinion, this is, as the district court said, that there is no evidence. There is no evidence, no genuine issue of material fact. Is there evidence that Menholt Farms did not ask every year Broughton Farms, what's your hiring practices? Yep. And is there evidence that Broughton or that Menholt Farms did not ask about specific employees? Yep. But those aren't genuine issues of material fact that go to the issue that the district court concluded. In my view, the district court properly concluded and granted summary judgment saying, based on this state of facts, there's no evidence that Menholt was negligent, and a jury could not reasonably find it. I mean, if this case were to go to a trial, we would sit and listen to them focus on the driving infractions of the sub-agent of Lopez. And at some point, I would stand up and make a motion for a directed verdict, and it would have to be granted based on the existing law in Minnesota. So in my view, the district court properly granted summary judgment for Menholt Farms. And now the last thing I wanted to just briefly touch on, and if there's questions, I'm happy to take them. But in this case, the focus has always been, and it has to be, what did Broughton, the focus that the appellant wants to make is, what did Broughton do about Lopez? And that's what they're asking you to do, is to say that contrary to the decisions that are from other jurisdictions, you don't do that. That the contractor, in this case, Menholt Farms, doesn't have a legal duty to vet the sub-agents of Broughton Farms or employees of Broughton Farms. And as the district court said, that goes too far. So unless you have other questions, that's all I have.
Counsel, just a couple of strange questions maybe, but how many shares of sugar beet stocks does Menholt Farms have?
You know, Judge, I don't know. I don't know.
Would you say he's a big operator or not?
No. Very, very small time operator. I will say this. He probably has, my memory is, I think there's reference in the deposition I was reading over the weekend. I think about 140 acres or something like that.
And as a result, he wasn't looking for a semi tractor and trailer to haul his beets, I take it.
Well, he had one, but as everyone knows, all hands on deck when in that 2 week period of time. So, correct, he was not in the mode of purchasing more. Correct.
Yeah. That's all I have.
Good.
I have Mr. Tomshi. I guess let's assume for the moment that we are applying Section 411. of the restatement. So the question is whether there's a failure to exercise reasonable care to employ a competent and careful contractor. I mean, would you admit or concede that in some circumstances, let's say a hypothetical, if there were certain facts known to the person in Menholt Farms' position that, some reason to give them concern or pause or to question the safety of Broughton Farms' drivers, would there then be a duty to conduct some inquiry or some follow-up inquiry? In other words, would in that situation, would the duty to conduct, the duty to exercise reasonable care to employ a competent and careful contractor include a duty to do some follow-up inquiry in order to satisfy the duty of reasonable care?
In my view, no, not under, first of all, if we're making a leap that there is such a legal cause of action, but
that's part of my question. We're applying Section 411.
Yep. But in my view, the claim under 411 is tantamount to negligent hiring, not negligent retention. So if Minnesota wants to adopt the tort or cause of action of negligent retention of an independent contractor, then yes. But under 411, no.
Okay, well, what if we were to apply 411 and we were to assume that each season there is a new contract formed, a new hiring decision made? So if we were to apply Section 411 to the facts as they occurred in the fall of 2018, then is it possible that there are some set of facts that might give rise to a duty to make some follow-up inquiries rather than simply to trust the independent contractor completely and not make any inquiries?
Well, again, based on the assumptions in your question, I can, if you're saying that every year it would re-up a negligent hiring potential, and then you're saying that the, in this case, Menholt Farms had actual knowledge of something that caused them concern, then yes. But in this case, what they're saying is we didn't have knowledge of it. They're saying we should have gone out and done a robust investigation of their employees to determine whether or not they were suitable, engage in second guessing of their hiring practices.
Thank you.
Yep. I see my time's up. Thank you very much.
Can I ask one more question?
Of course.
Yeah, you can go ahead. I think.
I'm sorry.
What it was.
I don't make that decision.
Forgot in the interim. I'll just let it go.
Okay.
You sure?
I can ask the next attorney.
All right. Okay. Well, thank you, Mr. Thompson, for your argument. We will now go back to Mr. Hui. You will have 5 minutes to make a rebuttal argument.
Thank you, Your Honor. I think it's important for me to spend a couple minutes here just talking about or addressing what Mr. Thompson talked about, is that a trust and relationship and respect is enough as a matter of law to conclude that an employer exercised a duty of reasonable care. At a minimum, it's a jury question. And in a situation like this, where we have evidence of literally Menholt Farms, and by counsel's own admission here today, Menholt Farms did nothing to vet or otherwise find out if Broughton and his processes were careful and competent, a jury has to decide that question. That's not a decision that the district court can make by weighing the facts.
Mr. Hoyt, I'll tell you what, I'll let you finish your point, but then I'll ask my question.
All I was going to say, Your Honor, is that an employer can do that. An employer can do whatever they want to do, but then they can't come back later and try to expect protection from liability when things go wrong. And so we know, based on the facts of this case, that Broughton was an uncareful and incompetent contractor. Broughton, his driver didn't even have a driver's license, for example. And so the duty on Menholt, and again, Menholt Farms has tried to confuse things about what we're arguing. We are in no way arguing that the or imputing that Broughton's negligence in hiring Lopez is imputed to Menholt. We're saying that Menholt independently had a duty to exercise reasonable care and it failed to do so.
Mr. Hoy, are you am I correct that you have no evidence that Menholt Farms had actual knowledge of problems, risks, dangers, anything like that, correct?
We know, that's a difficult question to answer because we know that it didn't ask those questions or do any sort of investigation or inquiry.
It seems to me that you're relying on the should have known, not that they knew something that, I mean, in their duty to use reasonable care in selecting a careful and competent contractor. I think those are the words of the restatement. I think you have no evidence, correct me if I'm wrong, no evidence that Menholt Farms knew had any information that would tend to suggest that Broughton Farms was not a careful and competent contractor. Now, you may have evidence that after, you know, once we do an after the fact investigation, we knew that there was perhaps some lack of care or lack of competence possibly. But anyway, but Menholt Farms, am I correct that Menholt Farms had no information to suggest that before they made the decision to hire Broughton Farms?
Your Honor, I would agree with you that based on the standard of knew or should have known, that there's we're relying more on the should have known standard. However, to say that there's no evidence of the known, I mean, there a jury could consider the fact that, and let's go to Mr. Tomsche's argument about the first time of hire, that Broughton is not a broker, not a transportation broker. He's not hauled beets. He, doesn't farm sugar beets. I mean, there's facts in the record where a jury could say, look, Menholt Farms, and if they're as good of friends as Mr. Tomsche makes them out to be, then there potentially are facts where Menholt Farms would have known. But I can't point to exact facts, Your Honor, but rather the should have known standard. And again, Menholt Farms is saying, this is similar to negligent hiring. And this in Minnesota, the Ponticus case that Menholt Farms cited deals with that. And that standard is known or should have known, which again falls under what this court in your question, Your Honor. A couple of other points here that Menholt Farms is saying that Broughton Farms asked if Lopez had a driver's license. I just want to point out that the record shows that happened after the first time of hire. So Menholt Farms is saying that the first time of hire is what matters, but then wants to use evidence of a later time. It's a double standard and it's they can't have it both ways, I guess, is what I'm saying. And ultimately, what this comes down to very simply is that contrary to the district court's conclusion that there are no facts, no genuine issue of material facts that suggest Menholt Farms failed to use reasonable care, we've provided facts. We provided facts to the district court that should warrant the reversal here and for a jury to consider the claims. And so unless there's any further questions, I appreciate the court's attention this morning.
I have a couple real quick ones, counsel. Do you know, was Broughton using Lopez as a farmhand as well as a driver, or do you have any information on that?
My understanding of the record is that he hired Mr. Lopez to hire beets just for Menholt Farms, and Broughton Farms did not haul for any other entity but Menholt Farms. And because it's 24 hours and it's, fast and furious.
And dangerous.
And dangerous. He needed somebody else to haul for 12 hours while he drove his truck for 12 hours.
Okay. Why didn't he then just send him over so that Mr. Mendel could hire him himself? I mean, why is he playing this middleman?
Your Honor, I don't know the answer to that. I'm sure there are reasons or business reasons. If I could guess, I guess it would be that he Broughton Farms gets paid for hauling beets, and so it was a way for him and his farm to make money. Would be the best answer I have for you, but I don't know the answer.
But they only had one client, right?
Correct.
So why couldn't that client have just hired him? I'm just kind of wondering why it was done the way it was done, if you know.
I don't know. And, you know, Menhold Farms, there's all sorts of reasons why somebody would employ an independent contractor versus an employee. But in the exercise of reasonable care, you have to hire a careful and competent contractor. And in this situation, because of the way that it worked out from an employment standpoint, Menhold Farms did not exercise its duty.
And did Broughton have any problem with his insurance coverage because of the way this transaction was handled? I don't know that from the other side of the case.
I don't know the answer to that, Your Honor.
Because it would seem to me that two inquiries that you might argue should be made in a case like this is driving status, obviously, is one, and the other would be insurance status, and that there's adequate coverage in case this kind of thing happens. And apparently there was no question about that either, it sounds like.
Not in this case, Your Honor, yes.
And I suppose Grinnell, being the Iowa Farm Insurance Company, probably bent over backwards to cover Broughton, regardless of how he set up this transaction. Is that a fair statement?
I am not... I don't know the dealings of Grinnell Mutual. I don't want to weigh in on whether it bent over backwards.
Okay. The problem, it seems to me, for your case, whether you get it or not, is that any jury that's looking at a claim now against the person who grew sugar beets and really not much else, is that the jury's going to know there was a workers' comp settlement and claim here. The jury's going to know there was a settlement and claim with Broughton. Why are they going to want to give you any more money if you have the right to proceed in this direction?
Well, Your Honor, we would like that opportunity, and we think the law requires that opportunity. And in a situation like this, although the things that you're saying are true, there's also, under the law, an obligation for Menhold Farms to exercise its duty in hiring, as I've mentioned before, a careful and competent contractor. And so a jury could very well find that Menhold Farms did not exercise that duty and as a result has liability here, which is the whole purpose of our suit.
Thank you, counsel.
All right, thank you. Thank you both for your arguments. The case is now submitted to the court, and we will issue our decision within the next 90 days. And counsel, you are now free to leave as well.